Thanks for tuning in. My name is Rehot, and you're listening to The Best in Tech, the podcast where we talk about only the best in technology. I mean, is there anything to laugh other than technology? On this week's episode, I chat to Michiel Schoeman, product manager at TVR. We're talking about one of the most sought-after technologies today, and that is the HTC Vive. It's finally available in South Africa, and I'm here talking to the guys who are actually bringing it in. Hope you settled in, starting now. Welcome to the episode. How's it, Michiel? How are you doing?
No, doing great, thanks.
So TVR just recently, very quietly announced that they are bringing in the HTC Vive.
Yes.
It's quite exciting. How are things going with that? I mean, how long have you guys had the import for now?
Well, we started in the beginning of October. It was launched at Rage as well with our announcement on the HTC Vive. And so far, it actually exceeded our expectations. I mean, as soon as the stuff came in, it was just going like
demand was taking
fire.
Fantastic. So let's get into the nitty-gritty, because I'm sure everybody listening wants to know what the HTC Vive can do and kind of what the applications are and why would I want to spend my money on it. But let's start at the beginning. HTC Vive, it's a product that was developed in a cooperation with Valve Corporation. And it's essentially a gaming headset. So let's also just preface this with there are two technologies, AR and VR, augmented reality and virtual reality. The HTC Vive is a virtual reality unit, which means you put on a heads-up display or screen basically over your eyes and you see everything in a digital world. The AR, augmented reality, is something more akin to the Google Glass or the stuff that you get with Pokemon Go. Most people will be familiar with that, where you see the real world with a digital overlay. Now, the HTC Vive obviously is largely aimed at gaming, and there's some medical application and some, industrial application. We can talk about that just now. But tell us a little bit about what the HTC Vive actually can do, and why would you want to get one of those?
Okay, so the HTC Vive, as everybody knows by now, is a virtual reality headset for immersive gaming. So during the development of the HTC Vive, the guys also implemented the Steam VR applications now, and obviously you have the SDK software that the guys can also develop their own games. So in partnership with Steam, the guys have started to get the HTC Vive's software to work with most of the Steam games that's now available. I mean, you have Dota 2, which you can run in VR. You have your Team Fortresses that you can run in VR.
And this is basically you sitting in a chair, being able to look around and playing the game, basically. But you're not going to be running around in your room.
Yeah. Well, there's two different ways that you can do it. You can either sit in your chair and on a fixed space, and you can put the headset in, and it takes you directly into the game.
Yeah.
And then you obviously have your 3D room setup, the space that you can use, where the headset uses a room scale tracking technology, which allows obviously the gamers to move in the 3D space. So a lot of people don't really love to do that much, because I get a bit of a commitment
and stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I can see how much fun that could be. Now, what do you do for your keyboard and mouse? I mean, do you have peripherals that you plug in? Because this is the backpack that you wear, right? I think MSI's got the wearable computer that you plug your Vive into.
Yes.
And we'll talk about the specs just now.
MSI has the VR1 backpack that you can use, but any person that has a gaming PC with at least 1060 graphics card in Core i5, 8 gigs of memory should be sufficient enough.
When you say 1060, what do you mean?
GTX 1060 graphics card.
Okay.
Gaming graphics card. So you can also, Vive comes along with two interactive remote controls, wireless remote controls that you can use, so you don't have to use a keyboard or a mouse.
And that'll work with existing games, obviously.
Yeah, that works with it. Inside the VR, when you use the controllers, it has a laser pointing to wherever the mouse pointer should be.
Oh,
so you can actually use that to indicate where you want to go. And with the Vive, even for people that now can just sit on a spatial, chair, can put it on and
look,
start playing the
and
game.
Have that experience. Now, I've seen a number of demos and played a few games with the HTC Vive, and it's a truly immersive experience. I can only imagine what it must be like to play a game like Battlefield or GTA even in a VR world. I mean, what has been some of the feedback you've received from people that's tried this for the first time? I mean, do you think this thing is something that mainstream gamers are going to pick up in a few years?
Well, I think to start off, it's not very easy. to play, to switch from your mouse and your keyboard while gaming through to two controllers. And in that controller, you have to run in the game, number one. You have to switch between your different gear, and you have to still aim and shoot people. Luckily, with the aiming, it helps with your head, actually helps with the hand-eye coordination. But I think in the future, it'll be a lot better. It'll be a lot easier for us.
The tech will be smaller, and it's certainly moving to a space where you're just wearing a single kit. I mean, Microsoft's got the what was it called again? The
you have the HoloLens.
The HoloLens. That's it. Yes. I mean, that still needs some. It still needs to be connected. But I mean, that essentially is a wearable device that's got more processing power in the unit. I think the Vive's only a screen, right? Or where does the processing power with the Vive lie?
So basically, yeah, the Vive works more or less like a external extended monitor that you connect through the PC. Obviously, you get a headset that can also connect to it, that goes over the ear, the extendable headsets. And
so just explain what that is.
So basically, it's where you would use, you'll buy basically two different kits. You'll either have the Vive, which is the goggles with the standard two compositors, and you get the small jack where you can plug in a headset, headset.
Okay.
But then you get an additional add-on, which is you can just take off the strap, a new head strap, you can put the head strap on, and it has adjustable headset already built into it. So you can either clip the earpieces to the side, the ear cups.
A more comfortable way of using the
HTC Vive. Yeah, a lot more,
okay, fantastic. Now, gaming-wise, you said Steam. Now, I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast, or most people at least that I know, are massive Steam purchasers. Or let me rephrase that. Everybody that I know spend a considerable amount of money on Steam games. Now, when I look at the VR section, I always thought it would be much more expensive. Now, obviously, these are most likely indie games, but these are games that are developed for VR, and they range between the usual 40-odd rand up to about $200-$300, 319 rand for Golf VR. I'm sure that's got a very loyal following. What are some of the games that you've seen that's been, you know, on either end of the scope in terms of price, or just really good, or something that people should maybe look out for?
Well, I think obviously it depends on what type of gamer it is, number one, and the way you will take the information in that you see. So the one game that I know which is pretty immersive is Everest. And Everest ranges around about between about $150 to $200 for the game. It's very real experience that you have. And then you get the other ones which are more, like you said, like the indie games. One that we used at Rage this year was Walk the Plank.
Reaches
Walk the Plank.
So many people couldn't do it. I mean, it's that real. You know, your senses are almost an overload when you walk on that plank.
Yeah, it's with the new graphics card that you have nowadays and the video processing power that you have, it's very real.
It's virtual reality. Yeah. Virtually real, yeah.
So basically someone that has a fear of heights won't usually be able to do it, because you'll go up in an elevator and then the doors will open and you'll walk out on a plank which is like 30 stories high, and then you have to literally jump off. So it's a pretty intense experience. So it just depends on I think the user as well, what type of game the user will play.
So I mean, we know action games, and I think everybody can associate gaming with, you know, first-person shooter action. But what are some of the other things you've seen that I mean, the elevator is not really a game, but it's a demo. Tell us about some of the other things you've seen that you would recommend.
Yeah, well, you get different simulations that you do. So you either get the games or you get the
simulator experience.
Yeah,
the
VR simulation experiences.
I'm seeing on Steam here that there's a drum kit VR, which I think with two controllers would be very fun to play. I mean, it's a full, if you look on Steam, it's a full drum kit setup in a nondescript room. But I would imagine how you're going to play this. You know, you're going to have your two controllers and you're going to bash them up and down.
Yeah, inside the VR, when you have it on your head, obviously, and you look into the screen, then you will see the two controllers in front of you. So your brain will recognize it as your hands. So as you play on the drums, it immediately picks up, okay, but you know where your hands are playing. Then you obviously get different simulations where you can walk into a cinema that's an entire cinema, and you can import a movie into the cinema, and you can sit in a cinema and watch it.
So you can sit on your couch and it'll feel like you're in a cinema.
Basically, yeah.
Wow, that is, yeah, that would be nice. I can imagine how that could work. I've tried a few other goggles. One of, I fly a lot of drones, and the DJI goggles. Very nice piece of kit, 1920 by something resolution, but very high definition. I watched a few watched a few trailers on it, and it's a very good experience. But I think the one thing that that lacks, obviously, that's a purpose-built screen, you know, for flying first-person view on a drone. But it's that ability to, I mean, that's also got tracking, but that for that ability for software to render a scene like a cinema, and you can then look around within that, see the guy behind you eating popcorn if there is a virtual.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of horror 360 type videos, which translate very well into a VR world. I mean, you can be totally immersive and have the clown from It standing behind you and get the fright of your life when you look around. I guess that's just a fun part of it, but these are all things that expose us to what VR can do.
Yeah, I mean, if you go and look at the different goggles, I mean, you have your augmented reality, your mixed realities, like with the Microsoft HTC, the Microsoft HoloLens. You have the HTC Vive, you have the Oculus Rift. Now, all of these headsets obviously contribute to our future.
Yeah.
You have the difference between the HTC Vive and numerous other headsets. Say, for instance, like the cardboard headsets, or you know, in those
are fun as well. I mean, you just put your phone in, and there's a lot of nice apps that you can download. I mean, it's well worth trying.
Yeah. So basically, on those, obviously, we'll see a frame, or you'll see the side of the screen, or something like that. The difference with the HTC Vive is you don't see a border at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're entirely immersed into it.
Your eyes only see what your depth. The depth that you see is real. It's virtual real.
Yeah. So yeah, basically that's and that experience for people, a lot of people, is just extreme. I mean, your body doesn't always realize where you are.
Yeah. And that's why people feel like they're falling off a building.
Yeah.
Or that Everest experience. I mean, you know, it's true to life. But I also think it's a great technology to allow people to do things that they may not otherwise do. I mean, you'd never walk on a plank like that over a building. But, you know, I've got the fear of heights, and I think, you know, that kind of thing is really allowing me to kind of push that so that I can either overcome that or just kind of tease my fear of that a bit without actually going up high on a building and potentially dying from the experience. You know, I don't want to, you know, be one of those YouTubers that create those videos. But that's what's so amazing about the technology.
Also another thing about it is, I mean, if you look at the industry itself, the guys start to use it for architectural uses. Someone will, an architect will design a house, and when the end user comes in who's buying the house or is asking for the design of the house, the headset will be put on his head, and he can walk in his house that's already been designed on the PC in software, and he can experience his house before it's even built.
That's fantastic.
So that's awesome. Then you get the military as well, who will do, you know, different missions that they'll have to do where they use the goggles for training purposes, where the soldier will wear the headset and literally go into the mission and execute the strategy that they have to do, complete the missions.
Do they use the normal HTC Vive peripherals, or do they have like custom-made guns that do the same thing? Probably the guns.
Yeah. Well, you do get different accessories for the Vives.
Because the platform is open, right? Anybody can develop for the platform. I think they've made the specs. I mean, anybody can.
Yeah, with the SDK, So that's basically, it's almost it's open source.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
that's basically what it is.
Now, one of the other things, you were talking about architecture, but I've seen some incredible videos online about painters using this to paint 3D paintings, these mammoth sculptures in a virtual space that nobody can see. I mean, it's captured in that moment in time in a digital world, almost like the Matrix, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that is quite fascinating, the fact that you can do, you know, you can go up to any size because you shrink down the image right in front of you, draw what you need to draw, and then rescale it the way you want it. I mean, it really is the future, right? I mean, we've all seen the Matrix. We all know kind of that, what you can do with that.
What you can do with it.
We're there, man.
Yeah, I mean, if you go and look at how these guys use it, not just in standard painting, but in 3D applications, like you can basically do modeling as well, or you can use certain software that's almost like SolidWorks that you can do engineering you can physically...
I'm sure Elon Musk and his Tesla team are designing their cars and their spaceships in that.
Within that, yeah. Because you can just blow up the model that you need. You can shrink it. You can mold it however you want. And with the new augmented reality, for instance, you can physically put the car there and you can actually look at it and bring it in again, model it again however you want, and then...
And the resolution of those things, I mean, it's real. It's hardly indistinguishable from real life.
Yeah, I mean, well, usually the headsets run at 1920x1080 on the screens. So it obviously depends as well what type of graphics card you have. Because if you're running at a lower spec PC, then the graphics won't be that. It'll be realistic, but you won't see all of the fine details.
Right? So you're going to be on a medium setting. So let's talk a little bit about the specifications, the type of PC that you need. Now, we're talking about recommended minimum PC specs to get a really decent experience, and we'll talk about the pricing for a minimum recommended PC. The reason for that is, you know, I guess you can spend any amount of money on any high-end PC. It's just the more you spend, the better it's going to be. In all honesty, I mean, if you've got money to spend an 80,000 rand PC, you're going to have a really good HTC Vive experience. So the minimum specifications, you were talking about a Core i5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the processing power isn't... I mean, it'll work. It'll work with a Core i5. I always thought you needed a Core i7.
You can use even something like a Core i3, I mean, the 6100s. But... as I said, there will be maybe like a screen tearing or something like that. So it is recommended to go for the i5s because the i5s is mainly the midstream, okay. You know,
and you'll still have a pretty decent experience. I mean, the machine that you had at Rage, that was a pretty beefy machine because that was a really good experience.
Yeah, that was a Core i7 that we had there.
With like a quadruple multiplex graphics card. Now, I mean, they had two or three graphics cards in there.
Well, the machine that we had there was running on a custom 1070 that we had. So we tried to still keep it in the mid-range so the end users can, or the gamers can actually see, okay, but it is a beefy machine, but it's not 1080 Ti style. So even the you know, the entry-level gamers will still be able to buy a game like that.
For an existing gamer, that's actually a good point. I mean, I don't really game PC anymore. I've moved over the console many years ago. I just couldn't keep up with the upgrades and the driver installs. And I mean, I just wanted a simpler gaming experience. But for guys that are gamers now, it's got a medium to high-end machine. For them, it's just an accessory upgrade, right? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, because they can play everything. So the other specifications in terms of graphics cards, what do you guys recommend?
Well, graphics card-wise, you can start off with a 1060s. Mm-hmm. Those are the entry-level ones that you can work on.
NVIDIA GTX 1060, yes?
Yeah, NVIDIA GTX 1060s. You can also switch over to the RX 570s, 580s, if you're an AMD gamer. 8 gigs of memory should be fine. It uses HDMI 1.3, so that should, just the standard HDMI cable should be fine. A USB 3 or USB 2, just depends on obviously what the gamer has in his PC. And you can have Windows 8 to 10 or newer.
No Mac support, I would imagine, because Macs aren't beefy enough for this type of thing.
I think it revolves around how Steam actually interacts with the HTC.
I run Steam on my Mac, and not all the titles are available. I can see the title, but I can't purchase everything. Now, minimum, that was the recommended specs, right?
Those are the minimums.
Minimums. Okay, now, so let me also just say, people can actually buy from TVR. They can phone you guys, and you'll get them your dealers, or they can look online. But if you guys were to put a PC together for a customer, tell us, what's the recommended retail price for a minimum PC and a mid-range PC? Just give us a little bit of a ballpark for the PC itself without the Vive headsets.
Well, if you start with the basic intermediate PCs, you know, when you start looking at the 1060s and the Core i3, Core i5s, you're going to look at around about between, you know, 13,000 to 15,000 rand for
just for the box,
for a decent PC, just for the box without the monitor and the peripherals. Obviously, this can go up to your recommended PC specs, which can be Core i5, Core i7, or 1070 upwards. The GTX 1080s, 1080 Ti's, etc. You know, those are obviously depending on how many money the end user has to spend.
How much you want to spend, yeah.
But basic recommended one should be run about i5, i7, just entry-level i7 should be fine, and a GTX 1070
Let's call it a 15 to 20,000 rand PC investment if you're new to it. I mean, you might want to, you know, play with the memory or maybe upgrade the card or something. So let's call it 15 to 20, which, I mean, I guess it's fair for a gaming PC, and you'll be able to play really good PC games as well. So that's a benefit. The HTC Vive headset itself, what does that go for?
So the HTC Vive headset, if you look at your recommended retail pricing, it'll be between around about $13,000 to $14,500.
Okay. Yeah. And what do you get with that? That is basically everything in a box that you need to get going.
So basically in the kit you have your goggles, the headset. Yeah. That comes with a standard strap with a 3.5 audio jack. You have your two controllers, your two compositors. Now the two compositors is obviously for your room scale setups. It has to pick up the Vive.
So you need to have that wherever you use the Vive. You can't use it without.
Yeah, it basically works like a receiver.
Okay.
Then you have obviously your controller chargers that comes with your plugs. It gets like a type of connector for the 2-point plugs as well. Sure. That you get.
Just another charger to have in the house. Fantastic.
Yeah. So and then with that also you get a small little box that controls everything. So that little box connects through to the PC and then from the PC to the Vive. It's just to link the two together. So that you can basically, so it can sync. It's almost like a sync type of box. Yeah.
So those controllers you need to put up in the room. How many do you get? Two, you said.
Yeah, you get two.
I've seen some setups with four. Do you add extra receivers to improve reception or anything, or was that just in a development environment?
Well, I think in development it'll definitely be necessary, but I mean if you work at a standard room scale of 3 to 5 meters.
And that would be what you kind of need, a 3 to 5 meters.
Yeah.
3 by 5 meters.
Which, so, you know, in that type of scale, two should be fine. But if you go through to a larger room scale, then I'd recommend the four, yeah.
Yeah, at the Audiovisual Expo a few months back, there was a company that demoed a projecting system for events. And they had the HTC Vive, they didn't use the heads-up display, but they connected it all to a projector, so you could interact with whatever that projector is pushing out. And they had four of those receivers mounted. Obviously, they are a much larger area, but, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, we've got the HTC. What other accessories are there? Because there's a few things you can buy, or is it just the one set of accessories?
Well, one thing that we earlier spoke about is the head strap. So the head strap is just an additional accessory that you can take off the standard one that comes, the head strap that comes with the HTC, and you can connect the head strap to it. And on there, you obviously have fixed earphones that goes onto it, a headset, and it's also extendable. You can get that. Then you get different, like, some of the e-tailers also, you'll be able to get the weaponry. You'll get maybe like a gun that connects to it also. It's basically more just like the PS Move.
Yes, and, I mean, it's a peripheral,
you know,
with
different ones.
With a gyro built in so that it knows where it is in space. So in terms of battery life, I mean, this thing is strapped onto your head. It's got a high-definition display. You don't connect this to anything. This thing runs off its own battery, right?
So basically, HTC is looking at that at the moment to get it to run on a wireless setup. At the moment, the ones that you get do have a flat cable that goes directly from the headset to that small connector box, and then from that junction it goes through into the PC, which then connects to the audio port on the PC, your USB ports, and your HDMI. Yes. But HTC is looking at creating a wireless one, which is, you know, very close.
I'm sure there's a few in development. But now this cable, how long is it? I mean, how far can I walk if I have a room set up for this?
So you'll be looking at least 3 to 5 meters.
Okay.
That you'll be able to, you know,
To walk around
in, which is safe space, yeah.
Now, do you recommend, I mean, obviously, once you put those headsets on in a different world, you know, things in the digital world versus things in a real world are two very different realities for you at that time. You obviously need a clear room. You don't want any couches and coffee tables to break your shins when you walk around. What do people normally do? Do they set it up in like a spare room or something, or do they just move the couches out?
So basically, you can have a fixed space, an open, clear space that you can.
I've seen some people actually buy houses for additional space, just so that they can accommodate.
For that,
it's a new thing, guys. Be on the lookout.
So yeah, as I said, you can have an open space, but the awesome thing about the HTC is it comes with a built-in camera. So in the center at the bottom of the HTC, it has a camera. So all that you use have to do is you can literally just set it up and tap it on the side. It activates the camera. With that, it creates a matrix around you. So you can see, okay, where you are, where your space, your movable space is, and then you can tap it again and put you back in the game.
Can you, oh, so it actually gives you, does it give you like a grid image of where you're looking or where you are in the room?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it basically acts like a camera.
Oh, that's very cool. That is very cool. How else can you manipulate the data? I've seen some guys import with the old Xbox Kinect. They used to do these weird 3D models with the data that it captures. Have you seen anything like that with the HTC base sensors?
Well, with you know, in regards to that, that brings us again back to the augmented reality. Mm. I mean, the guys can do that. I have seen a few of them, but I'd rather recommend going for the augmented reality headset by itself. I mean, because that's been designed for the augmented reality.
Yeah, for sure.
Where HTC has more or less been designed for just immersive gaming. Mm. So obviously you have to use the headset for what it was built for.
No, no, for sure. I wouldn't even compare those two technologies. Yeah. I just like the way that people, I think, exploit what it can do to create really immersive experiences. Like I said earlier, I'm a big GTA fan, and I cannot wait for the day that I can play something like that. But I think you need kind of need a larger scale environment.
Well, you do get different accessories. I mean, if you go and look at the Omni that they have, it's basically a circular. It's almost like a treadmill.
Around
treadmill,
that you can
stand and you can run, and you can actually buy that online as well.
Is that a third-party accessory? HTC? No.
It's not from HTC. And then on there, you can physically run on that, on the Omni or on the treadmill.
And it's obviously not just a metal dish that you can run on. It's got sensors built in to know that you are moving, because otherwise you're standing in one place, right?
Yeah, and it's omnidirectional. I mean, you can run to any side, and you're basically in the middle of it. So you'll stand on one space, you'll stay in one space, but you'll still be able to run around.
I think the next thing we need to really see very soon is, you know, the old laser tag that we used to play. I mean, there's a few places around you can do paintball and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to map one of those places, put it into a virtual environment. Everybody wears headsets. Once they're wireless, of course, you can't have wires running around. Unless everybody's connected like the old electric bumper cars. Imagine that. Don't touch the wire, kids. But I think that is the next kind of iteration of this, where virtual reality just becomes one step closer to a real reality.
Yeah, I mean, you get the guys that started now with the multiplayer VR setups. I mean, using HTC. So they'll have a room that's entirely built just for that specific, scene.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll have, for instance, a chest on the ground with gold in, and then the two users can physically go open the chest. They can connect the headsets, obviously, on
So it's like a room-based game, but you can move around.
And you can also interact with one another. So you can actually see your avatar in-game, and you can open the chest together, or you can fight with swords or whatever. So I think that multi player, it'll be a very huge step for HTC and for the VR, and then obviously in the end, for the guys that knows the Sword Art Online anime, it'll most likely over to a Neuron type of thing where you don't even really have to do anything. I mean, if you go and look at the studies nowadays, they already figured out how to manipulate data to your PCs through just the use of your brain. So on the internet, I mean, the brain net that I don't know if you see the guys at Vet College that did it. So that data back and forth, I think, will.
Yeah, look, I'm happy with the plug in the back of my head where I can plug something into. I'm happy to make that transition if it means that I can enter this digital world and really, you know, live vicariously through a digital means. I think it could be fantastic. But there's also a very serious side to virtual reality. I mean, we haven't really spoken about augmented reality because the Vive isn't an augmented reality device. And these two things really cater for two different types of usage scenarios. But I do see them largely in the same category because, you know, there are going to be times when you call for both. You would probably need one of each. But in a medical scenario, virtual reality has kind of played a massive role in allowing doctors to remotely, or training, in a training purpose, but also to remotely, perform surgeries because they can see. I mean, they can, with a camera that's there, they can see real video live feed as if they're there. It's not a digital projection or anything. It's the real thing. And as they move their head around, they can actually see what's happening. That's quite fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the character of human error. I mean, if you go and look at the guys doing surgery, the doctors, obviously they're under a large amount of stress, and they have to perform that that operation with precise movements. So where machines are already programmed for it, so there's no way that the machine can make a fault or make a mistake or maybe cut like 2 or 3 centimeters.
But those machines
further
also
than it
compensate.
Should.
Yeah, I mean a doctor can with some I call them finger puppets, but basically wires connected to a machine interpret those movements, but with a degree of what do I want to call it? A rate adaption, so that if he flicks his finger, it's not going to sever an artery.
Yeah.
It is going to compensate. No, this is not the right movement. It's going to stay in place. And that is where the human error is going to get eliminated.
Yeah, and I think if you look at how NVIDIA now started to work with the artificial intelligence, I mean, those guys are just doing an awesome job. So with that building built into the machines and your VR headsets that obviously, as you said, you know, with remote control, the doctor doesn't have to be there. I mean, someone can be in Australia busy performing a surgery in the U.S., for instance.
Yeah, no, there's been a few case studies in Africa where it's been done, especially with fiber now. Everybody's getting fiber. I mean, you know, bandwidth is almost not an issue anymore. And
in
a few years, globally, I'm sure it won't be an issue. It's incredible stuff. And that's what makes this so exciting. You know, the best in tech truly is something of the future. And on that note, thank you very much, Mikhail. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much for talking to us about the HTC Vive. If anybody wants more information on this, just Google it or get hold of the guys at TVR, tvr.co.za, and they'll certainly point you in the right direction if you're interested in a PC or the HTC unit itself. So from the TVR offices in Centurion, Mikhail and myself, cheers.